Job chapter 35. The message is Songs and Meditations by Day and by Night. I'll cover as much as can be covered reasonably in the time that we have. Job 35, and look at verse 9. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry for help by reason of the arm of the Almighty. But none saith, Where is God my Maker, who giveth songs in the night? How sad. Oppression, burdens, and yet none says, Where is God my Maker, who giveth songs in the night? Now, let's look at Psalm 42. Verse 6, O God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore do I remember thee from the land of the Jordan, and the Hermons, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, at the noise of thy waterfalls. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, even a prayer unto the God of my life. Please notice, this song is a prayer unto the God of my life. 77. Verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes watching. That means he can't close his eyes. He can't get to sleep. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune, or I meditate, with my own heart, and my spirit maketh diligent search. Now, Isaiah 30, what is so interesting at this portion is we have a future revelation of what's going to happen to the nation of Israel, and it says in verse 27, Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with anger, and in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of indignation, and his throne is as of the devouring fire. And it goes on, but look at verse 29. In spite of all of that, you shall have a song as in the night, when a holy feast is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come unto the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. Now look at Psalm 63. These have been songs, and let us look at some meditations. Psalm 63, and look at verse 4. So will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so glad that you have started out with small, simple things and expanded them. And whereas we thought all was sufficient at first, we understand as we go through life, problems become more difficult, burdens heavier. And yet, from what we've read tonight, our Father, and that we desire to consider, we see that you are sufficient in all of these areas of need. So help us to know, our God, about songs and meditations by day and by night. We thank you for the blessings of the day, and we look for a blessing this evening hour. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told you already about the word ramifications, which simply means branching out. Here is a subject, and it looks small, but as you consider it, it branches out. That these are ramifications. And I told you last week that one of the ramifications of prayer was fasting. You read in your King James so often, prayer and fasting. It is but another part, a ramification of prayer. Now, in like manner, the portions that I've read you tonight also are ramifications of prayer. Because prayer is not only this, give us this day our daily bread, but prayer is also giving unto God, singing unto God. And so singing is a ramification of prayer, and also meditation is a ramification of prayer. Because I challenge any man who ever has meditated spiritually to meditate without speaking to God in prayer. It's nothing that you can do and completely make it fall upon yourself. God is always involved, because as you meditate, you will find that it's necessary to speak to God in prayer as you meditate. So now we have three ramifications of prayer. We have prayer and fasting, we have prayer in the form of a song, and we have prayer also in the form of a meditation. That's why I read to you in Psalm 63. It speaks about my meditation of prayer unto God. So we're going to talk, as time allows, about meditations and prayers, ramifications, meditations, and songs, ramifications of the subject, prayer. It says in Thessalonians, they that sleep, sleep in the night. Well, that is a beautiful scripture if you are able to get to sleep, but at times there are those who are so troubled and so burdened that they cannot close their eyes in sleep. And I said that there are songs by day and songs by night. And some of the songs that we sing by day are like those songs in Exodus chapter 15, when Pharaoh and his army has been destroyed, and then Israel sings his song of triumph on the shores of the Red Sea. So this is a song by day. And also, you have the song of salvation, as in Psalm 40, when it says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and hath set my feet upon a rock, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And so here is a song that we sing to God, and it's by day, if we were saved by day, or whatever time it is. But these are songs that are different from the ones I read to you from Job and the Psalms and from Isaiah. Because there are some who at night time, when they would like to go to sleep, are unable to go to sleep and their heart is burdened, there is sorrow, there is weeping, and yet, in four instances, it mentions songs in the night. When we sing to God, but in the night when we are burdened, God gives us also the ability to sing. This is a wonderful thing. God is able to give us that ability to sing, whatever the situation might be. Who could help but sing? If the enemy that was coming to destroy you is destroyed and you see them lying dead upon the seashore, who could not sing at that time? But when your heart is so burdened that you cannot think, who could sing a song? But this is what we are challenged, and this is what is the subject of these four scriptures that I've given you. When songs in the night are available, and at times they are given, and at times they are withheld, because even though these things are upon us, it says, even though they are upon us, we do not say, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? So this is the challenge. All of us at times have burdened hearts during the night time. But during that time of sorrow, God can give songs in the night. And this question, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? But they do not ask that question, because they say, what is the use of asking? It's impossible for even God to give me a song in my condition of heart. But what happens is this, that in these other portions, those in Psalm 42 are thinking in a different way, and whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, this is what they say. It said, I'm overwhelmed, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He says, yet God will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and he will give me a song in the night. Now that's the attitude that we have to have. And I thought at first, I said, should I give this exhortation to people? Because when I speak of fasting, I'm no expert in that area. And when I'm talking about songs in the night, I'm no expert in that area. The sorrows that have come into my life are not compared to the sorrows that have been in your life. And yet, here is what I find. I'm going to give exhortations to people like Job, who in a day, in a brief period of time, has all of his possessions wiped out. And I'm going to go to say to Job, why, just call upon your Maker to give you a song in the night. You see how easy it is? I could not deal with a man. He's lost 10 children, and his heart is so burdened. He says, wearisome nights are appointed unto me. And I'm going to go to Job and say, why, Job, God can give you a song in the night. Just ask him. I said, perhaps I should not even mention those things. But in all of these portions, the challenge is what the challenge of Elisha was in the light of what he had known of Elijah, his master. When Elijah went to heaven, he let his mantle fall and it fell upon Elisha. And Elisha came to the river and he took that mantle and he smote the river and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And the God of Elijah became the God of Elisha, and the waters went back. And what God is telling us, and therefore whatever your sorrow, whatever burden is upon you, I tell you that if you're in a night season and sorrow fills your heart, the Bible is challenging us to say, where is God my Maker who giveth songs in the night? You're not asking, where is he, as if he did not exist, but you are asking the way Elisha did. Where is the God of Elijah? And you're asking, where is this God, my maker, who gives songs in the night? And just as God worked for Elisha, God will work for us. And for that reason, I thought of people who have had painful, wearisome nights, and I've said, perhaps this would not apply to them. But it does, because our God is a God who gives songs in the night. The question is asked, is there no balm in Gilead? If there's no balm there, then there's no balm anywhere. And is there no God who can give songs in the night? What if we have a God who, when we're on the mountain, he can give songs, but we're in the valley, he's helpless. He can do nothing for us. But our God is the God who can give songs in the night. Now think. Paul and Silas have been beaten and their feet are in the stocks in the jail at Philippi. And it says, at midnight, they were singing praises unto God. So, what happened to them? You say, why, God gave them a song in the night. Why, of course he did. And if under those conditions God can give a song in the night, under what conditions can God not give a song in the night? You say, there is no condition in which God, who commands the blessing, can command a song to our hearts in the night. And when I tell you this, I fear that the time may come when my heart is burdened. And God said, what did you tell those people at that prayer meeting that night? But I tell you this because God has told us, and it's true. And so remember, our God is one who, under whatever circumstance may exist in your life, he is able to put a song in your heart. Now notice, there are songs that we sing to men, and there are songs that we sing to God. It says both in Ephesians and in Colossians, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. So songs are for ministry to brethren. But at the same time, songs also are unto God. I told you about this song unto God. You sing unto God. Now, when you sing to men, that is ministry. That's God giving to us. But when you sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow, when you praise God in a song, and the words are not asking, but are adoring and praising and making known to mankind the greatness of our God, then you are worshiping God, and that is a ramification of prayer. And what God does is this. He gives us a song, and even in our sorrow, we are able to sing in gratitude to him, and we're able to sing in songs, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and all of these things are possible. And so for that reason, whenever a person is burdened down so that they cannot lift up their eyes to heaven because of heaviness, the time, if they think it through, can come when God will give them a song and they will sing these songs of praise to God. And when they do, that is a ramification of prayer. So this is a hope for us all. I've given you these four scriptures. Go and look at them. And in a coming day when Israel is in their darkest hour, God himself says, the time is going to come when instead of sorrow, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and God will give them a song in the night. So, if this is true, then there is no temptation that had taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful to deliver us out of that temptation, and there is no sorrow that is so heavy that God, in the midst of that sorrow, cannot enable us to sing to him a song in the night. Now, some nights are so sad, and I could have told you about this. There are so many messages, and I'm trying to tell you everything I can, but it speaks in the Bible about sweet sleep. And so here is a man, and he goes to sleep, and his sleep is sweet. And I can say this, I remember it. Until I was in my 60s, I never knew what it was to wake up and not be able to go right back to sleep. But then suddenly, as I got older, I would wake up and not be able to go back to sleep. And you wonder what to do with that time. 1 hour, 2 hours, however long it is that you've been asleep and you wake up and you cannot get back to sleep. What do you do? I could have read you so many other scriptures that tell us what to do. Here is the song that God gives you in the night. And so you can sing to God in the night. But at the same time, when you cannot sleep, you can redeem the time and you can meditate upon these three things. It says, I will meditate upon your person, upon your works, and upon your statutes. And so here in those sleepless hours is the time to meditate. And the word meditate, it's the word siach and the word haga, two meanings, and one of them is this, to ponder, to talk to yourself, and the other one is to think out loud. And so when you're in bed and you're unable to sleep, what it says is that here is prayer, and here is meditation. I will meditate upon you while I lie upon my bed. And so here is nighttime, and a man is meditating upon God. Well, if he's meditating upon God, he's not asleep. He's awake. And so that's what we do. We redeem the time, and so when we are asleep and wake up, and we are going to have restless hours, do you realize that some in the Bible, just as God gives a song in the night, it says in the Psalms that I anticipated the night watches that I might meditate upon my God. Here are some that look forward to the times when night comes, when they are undisturbed, when nobody will be interrupting them, and they can meditate upon God. They think upon the person of God, the statutes of God, the works of God, and what they do is to talk to themselves about all of these things concerning God. And this is meditation. What happens is this, that when this does occur and you start meditating, in the psalm it speaks about the psalmist was musing. And he said, as I mused, my heart burned. But the word muse is the identical word in the Hebrew. While I was meditating, my heart burned within me. And what happens next is this glorious psalm comes forth because he is meditating upon God. And then while he is meditating, God in turn gives something to him in the night. And so for this reason, the Bible speaks about sweet sleep, but if you are enjoying that sweet sleep, who would appreciate somebody coming to wake them up? But that's one of the sweetest times in a man's life, when God wakes you up. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 50 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. And so the Lord Jesus is asleep, and God says, my son. And the Lord Jesus opens his eyes, and God speaks into his ear. And that should show you the folly of saying Jesus being God knew everything from the end to the, from the beginning to the end. He never needed to have God tell him anything. The Bible says the Father woke his son morning by morning and he told him what he's going to do for the day, what he should say for the day. Because the Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And this is the way he tells us things are done. And so the Lord Jesus was wakened in the night when morning came. Some of us awakened before that. Think of little Samuel, a little boy, and he's lying down, and here is old Eli in his 90s, and little Samuel is there sound asleep, and suddenly he hears, "Samuel, Samuel." And he runs in to old Eli and says, "You call me, what do you want?" Eli says, "Go back to bed, I didn't call you." "Samuel, Samuel." He comes out again. This goes on and on. And finally, Eli realizes that it's God waking up Samuel in the night to give him a message. Now let me ask you this. Had you rather enjoy sweet sleep, or are you willing to have God wake you up in the night to tell you his will for your life, what you're to do the next day, and to give you a message to pass on to your fellow man? Would that be worth being aroused, wakened from your sweet sleep? You say, yes, that would. Well, why can we not look upon these times in our lives when we cannot sleep as being those that God is seeking to speak to us? You'll find in Job 33 that here is a man, and God has tried to deal with him in so many ways, but the man will pay no attention. But finally, God lays hold on him in the night time. And the man would say, "Well, why are you bothering me tonight?" God said, "I've been trying to get hold of you all day long, and you would not listen. And so now I'm going to tell you in the night." And then it tells about all the things that God can do. He sends a dream. He sends a vision. He lets a man know certain things. And so in the night, these are the times when God can work in our lives. Think, when we can meditate, when for the first time we seriously look upon a scripture and see the fullness of its meaning. Here is a problem, and we think it through in the night. And I tell you this, that so many times, and I remember for 30 or more years, I preached at an assembly the way that I always preach, and suddenly a letter came and said, "We're setting up a new format, and what you have to do now is to send us the message that you're going to send and speak and tell us what that message is going to be, and in that message you have to have this contained and so forth, and all of this must be done." I said, "Send you the title of the message I'm going to speak. I don't even know what it is myself," because I confess that in studying the Word of God in the night, hours before, sometimes the Lord finally brings it together, and then I can close my eyes and enjoy sweet sleep. Others can write out the messages and send them to you months in advance. And so if you say, "Well, why don't you tell me what you're going to speak on in the morning?" Because I do not know what I'm going to speak on in the morning. But when you meditate with God, then God, in those hours when you cannot sleep, he is able to speak to you, and he is able to reveal to you things that he could not because you were so busy during the day. There were interruptions, but during the night, God can reveal those things to you. And so this is what I've thought, and perhaps it will be a blessing to you. Lord, I read that I need 8 to 9 hours of sleep a day. We do not think we do, but that is what they tell us we need. And my God, I've only slept 5 hours, and I can't get back to sleep. You know what sleep I need for my health. And so, my God, if I need that sleep, let me sleep. And if not, I'm going to meditate upon you and your works and your word. And I can rest there. I can leave it with God, because God, it says, he giveth his beloved sleep. And so do not look upon these sleepless hours as hours that are to be wasted, but think of what you can do, what can be accomplished spiritually in your life if you know how to meditate. Because God is able to reveal to you then what he could not reveal to you during the day. So, we have to be experts in singing songs to God at midnight, because anybody can sing on the seashore during the day when the enemy has been destroyed. But when our heart is so burdened, when the waves and billows have gone over us, but then God commandeth his blessing and gives a song in the night, then when we are singing, it says in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were singing, it said, the prisoners were listening. And that is when God will listen. Look at this person and all his pain and all the burdens he is bearing, and yet he's singing to God. Something about this man is different from me. And so this is a little bit about songs and meditations by day and by night. And so let us not say, my sweet sleep has been interrupted. Let us say, my Savior's sleep was interrupted. God woke him up. And Samuel's sleep was interrupted. And yet, when God interrupted, it was for a blessing. So let us look upon sleep and night and the workings of God in a way different than we have before. Now that's enough.